We all know about the importance of civil rights, of ending racism. The concept that a skin color somehow defines your life, your worth, or your value is absolutely ludicrous. And yet, in the name of ending racism, anti-racists have become the very thing they swore to destroy. All about this and more today on The Michael Wilson Show.
From the American Beacon Studios, this is The Michael Wilson Show.
So this was posted on Reddit. This is an overarching story. We're going to get into some other things that accompany it. But let's read this. This was from a teacher in a public school who wrote this post on Reddit. So let's read it. He said, "I have read, heard, and seen that students of color are disproportionately written up, disciplined, and suspended from school. I know student mental health issues are at an all-time high. I know the data. My question is, what do I do when it's the students of color that are the ones causing 90% of the fights, disruptions, defiance, etc. I have white kids do the same thing, but not at the same rate. I'm conscious of the data, and I don't write up kids unless the behavior warrants it. We have the same expectations for all students. We have the same support for all students. I have the same compassion and empathy for all students. How do I make a difference to change the data?" This is a problem everywhere, not just in this guy's public school, across the entire United States. There's an issue with the culture and the homes in the black community. And saying that with some extra help and some unfair policies, somehow the black kids are going to perform the same given the scenario they're in is just wrong. It just doesn't make any sense. Even this teacher wants to fix the data. He wants to skew the data because it's obvious what it shows, which is directly opposed to the narrative that the left tries to paint all the time, which is that, well, black people are only failing because of racist policies in school. No, black kids are failing because black kids make bad choices, because black kids don't have fathers in the home who teach them to make good choices. That is as simple as it gets. It is literally that simple. And the solution is equally as simple. Put fathers back in the home and teach them good things. Rather than teaching them transgenderism in school and critical race theory, maybe teach them manners. Teach them how to be a man. Teach them good things like we used to learn. Not only that, but it creates this issue with white guilt, critical race theory, where somehow people like you and me, white people, people who had no power, by the way, over where and how they were born, are somehow guilty for the data. That being white somehow means we created personally the situation where black students choose to act the way that they do. This white guilt has led to a whole lot more than just one teacher asking how to skew data. Let's take a look at this video. This happened on a college campus, and it speaks for itself, so let's go ahead and watch it.
Offensive. Police lives matter.
You have the same sticker.
We're just trying to do school.
What?
You guys have the same sticker as the other.
But this is our space.
We've got a Police Lives Matter sticker and we're getting kicked out. Can't do school. Yeah, you just said we have to leave.
No, I said
you're making this space uncomfortable.
But you're white. Do you understand what a multicultural space? It means you're not being centered.
White's not a culture?
No, it's not a culture. It's white is not a culture. Say it again to the camera. You think whiteness is a culture?
This is insane.
So anyways, this is the violence that ASU does, and this is the type of people that they protect, okay? This white man thinks he can take up our space, and this is why we need a multicultural space, because they think they can get away with this shit.
I'm gonna sit here the whole time and you can find somebody to kick
that,
me.
That's cool. We're not
kicking you out. We're asking you to leave if you have any consideration for people of color and are marginalized.
So clearly don't.
Yeah, the whole rest of the campus, the second floor, the first floor, the whole MU, every single part of the campus centers you. This is the only space that you're not centered and you're still trying to center yourself, which is peak white cis male bullshit.
There is so much I could talk about with that video. I mean, I could go through it literally 10 seconds by 10 seconds and tell you another thing she said wrong. But I think one of the biggest things here is, and there's a lot of them, but the one I want to focus on primarily is whiteness is not a culture. That somehow black culture exists, Hispanic culture exists, Asian culture exists, white culture doesn't. We don't have our own culture. A multicultural space doesn't include you. It only includes marginalized people, which is interesting because if they're marginalized, why do they get their own room? I mean, like, realistically. Kind of tagging on to the fact that they think that whiteness is not a culture, I think it's also worth noticing here that this then, by definition, is segregation. White people go over there, people of color stay over here, which is exactly what people fought against in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, was segregation. Maybe people my age have forgotten what civil rights was, but there was a time where there were different bathrooms, different water fountains, different buses, different schools, and we put an end to all that. And now we've done a complete 180, which is where, no, we need our own spaces. We need our own graduations. That's not exaggeration. It's just true. They had a black graduation at a college just a few months ago. It's happening. University of Pretoria, which is in South Africa, had a sign up just a few days ago that said no whites allowed. This is exactly what the left has tried to create for decades. In the name of fighting racism, all they've created was more racism. Telling white people that they have no culture and thus that they do not belong in a multicultural space is disgusting. Posting a sign that reads no white people allowed is disgusting. Trying to skew data to fit an agenda when that data may actually be the key to helping people is disgusting. But it doesn't just end in schools. Believe it or not, and this is, I don't even know what this is, but the S&P 100, which by the way is like the really big companies like Amazon, Apple, Meta, Tesla, Microsoft, Google, companies like that, raise their diversity hires, right? Like they're saying, oh, we need more people of color to be hired, right? So you'd think, okay, well, since, you know, white people make up a big percentage of the population, we kind of need to have it even. No, that's not what happened. In 2021, which is the most recent year that we have statistics for, in 2021, 94% of the people that the companies in the S&P 100 hired were minorities, while only 6% were white people. For reference, over 60% of the population in the U.S. is white. Despite making up the large majority of the population, they were hired at only 6% from the largest companies. Why? The same reason. In the name of diversity, companies have actually become racist. Racism used to be segregation, unfair, discriminatory hiring practices, flat-out hatred. But we're seeing all of that against white people, and all of a sudden that can't be racism because racism requires historic oppression. You can't be black and racist. You can't be racist against white people. The whole thing is built on entirely useless ideology. The idea that historic oppression means you can do no wrong makes absolutely no sense. Just because you have been historically, assuming this is true, just because you've been historically oppressed does not grant, just because the color of your skin in years past was historically oppressed does not mean that you personally deserve something that other people do not. You don't deserve your own space, your own bathrooms, your own school buses, or your own graduation. Assuming that we somehow agreed that historic oppression did grant you extra rights, let's just say that I'm willing to concur and say, okay, you know what? No, you're right. You're right. Because if you've been historically oppressed, you deserve to get it made up to you. Because you're someone you've never met, was hurt by someone I've never met, you deserve things from me, and I've hurt you. Let's say that's true. If that's the case, there's two things here. First, white people have been enslaved in world history. You can say, oh, well, that it's further back than the slavery in America. Okay, it's still historical oppression, though, isn't it? I mean, unless historical oppression is only like a specific time period in world history, in which case it becomes even more nonsensical, right? Because it's already nonsensical to say historical oppression somehow equivalates to today. It's a whole other thing to sit there and say, well, ours was closer, and we've drawn an arbitrary line that white people can't have been historically oppressed because it was too long ago. It's preposterous. It makes no sense. Second, Black people are still enslaved in places around the world, like in Africa. But we don't want to talk about that, right? Because it only matters what we're doing here. We don't want to talk about how there's still slavery and how we were actually one of the first countries to end it and how we kind of drove the movement and how even our founding fathers didn't really like it. You know, we were one of the best countries when it came to slavery and how we treated our people. We don't want to talk about any of that. All I want to say is it's historic oppression. Actually, now that I'm on it, there's a third point. If it was really about fixing historical injustices, if that was the point, right? If the goal of all of this was to fix injustices that occurred in our history, then wouldn't we do whatever we could to completely level the playing field? Wouldn't we make it equal? Wouldn't that be the goal? Would be total equality? Making up less than 30% of the population but getting 94% of the jobs isn't fair. It isn't just, and it isn't equality. It's discrimination. It is racism. We talked a couple of weeks ago about Ibram X. Kendi. If you guys remember, that was the anti-racist guy that turned out to be a fraud, who defined racism as a set of, you know, racist beliefs that propagate racism and are based in racist policies. Even by his definition, which is, I never thought that I would sit here and use that ridiculous definition. But assuming we go with it, technically speaking, what these companies are doing, what these colleges are doing is racist. You are supporting a standard of racial injustice based on your race with policies propagating racism. You could say, well, but white people weren't enslaved during American history. Nobody cares. I'm sorry. No, I'm not trying to be offensive or harsh, but I'm stating facts and nobody cares. I get that there was evil in this country. You know what? There was evil everywhere in every country since the moment that Adam and Eve ate the dang fruit and then their firstborn son killed the better son, murdered him. Since God had to wipe out the entire earth, par Noah and his family, there has always been historical injustice in this world. And to pretend like America is somehow unique and because of that, you deserve something that you did not earn is ridiculous. I can't emphasize it enough. It's stupid. You deserve nothing. Nothing but that which you earn. Just as I deserve nothing but that which I earn. And that is the equality that we should be fighting for. That you earn what you get. That the S&P 100, it's not a split of the number of, well, 61% hires are white. You know, that's not what we should even be looking for. Real equality has nothing to do with statistics or percentages. True, real equality is basing it entirely on the content of your character, not the color of your skin. That isn't to say you can't celebrate the culture you came from as a black person or a Hispanic or an Asian or a white person, which, yes, we do have culture. That isn't to say you can't celebrate your differences. You can't celebrate your cultures. But it is to say that it is preposterous to pretend as though equality focuses on numbers rather than content of your quality, of your character, of your strength, of your integrity, of your value to society. That is equality. It is, we walk into a room and the guy looks at our resumes and he listens to us speak and he doesn't care if we're black or white. He cares about who's going to be best for the job and makes it purely on that. That is equality. That is all that matters. And if that scares you because you think that minorities aren't going to get hired as much, who's the real racist? All right. Klaus Schwab. I don't even like saying his name. If you don't know, he was the founder of the World Economic Forum, which if you know anything about them, you know hearing his name in the news is just never a good thing. Hearing about the World Economic Forum in the news is never a good thing. Hearing anything about the global elites is never a good thing. This is the group of people that forced the COVID vaccine and wants us to eat bugs, just so you know who we're talking about. Just so we're clear, they're the bug people. Now, he officially announced his plan for the end of private car ownership while speaking at the World Government Summit in the Middle East. During the end of his speech, he warned that by the end of 2030, there will be no more private car ownership. Over my dead body, Mr. Schwab. According to this guy, who previously announced that private cars would be outlawed by 2050, has now changed his tune to the timescale of about 2 decades. So instead of being 2050, it's now 2030. He said that California's already on board and they're going to, you know, figure it out by 2030. This guy wants a communist world. That's it. Where he and his friends stay in power, and we're all subjugated to his rules that prevent uprisings. He wants a world where we can't farm, so they control the food. A world where we can't own cars, so they decide where we go, and what we do, and when we do it. I am unwilling, and I've said this before, I'm unwilling to listen to idiots. I don't listen to morons. I make it a general rule that if you're just a brazen idiot, I'm probably not even going to give you the time of day. That isn't to say like, oh, you should listen to differing opinions. Yeah, differing opinions from people who have any level of sense in their brains. I don't listen to idiots. But you know who I listen to even less than idiots? Hypocrites. When these wealthy elite people tell you that they have to dismantle car ownership because of climate change, but they own private jets. By the way, in one trip, will produce more carbon, release more carbon into our atmosphere than your car ever will in the history of that vehicle. And yes, I mean one trip, not round trip. So flying to the summit and back is you owning, you know, your cars for the next 50 years. It's all about power and control, and it always has been. I mean, the whole bug thing, the bioengineered chicken thing, it's the same thing. They can say, ah, it's for climate change, ah, it's for veganism, ah, it's for protecting. No, it isn't. Just like the COVID vaccine wasn't to protect people against COVID. Everybody knows that because now we know it didn't protect anyone against COVID. Just like telling them to mask up didn't protect anyone from COVID, which we now know COVID did not stop at the mask. In fact, the mask actually did damage. So we know that it was never about protection of us. Eating bugs is not about protection of us. Stopping farmers is not about protection of us. And making it so that not only are we switching to EVs now and you're forced to buy one of those, but you can't own a car at all. It's not about anything but power and control. And I am here to tell you, if you sit back, as a lot of Republicans have done, if you sit back and you say to yourself, well, I don't want a war, so here's my keys. If you do that, you're a coward and you deserve to lose. Again, not intending to be harsh, but I am being accurate in my verbiage. If you bend over and wait for your spanking from the government and from these global elites, you deserve to get spanked. Because I can tell you something. If it starts coming out that I'm not going to get to keep my car or my guns or my food, I don't care what I have to sacrifice, but I will sacrifice everything because I'm not living in a world where I don't have any freedom. I have no freedom over what I say. I have no freedom over where I go. I have no freedom over what I eat. I'm unwilling to live in a world where that's the case. And I will fight till my dying breath to stop men like Klaus Schwab from running the world in a Marxist, communist, power-hungry, greedy, corrupt way that directly affects me. Not doing it. So I would recommend if they try to tell you to stop buying meat and to buy bugs, or they tell you to give them your keys, drive away, leave, be done. All right. Joe Biden. This is a funny story. So before I even talk about the story, I'm going to watch this video. This is from when he was on his campaign trail in 2020. So it's been a while. Let's watch this video of what he said. And then we'll talk about what he said just the other day.
No, there will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration.
Yep, that was it.
There will not be another foot of wall constructed under my administration.
Now they're going to build more wall. No, that's not a joke. They are now going to build a wall. And this is why, from the very beginning, you can look back. Because not that I never change my mind, but this is one thing that I don't like about a lot of political pundits is that they say whatever people want to hear in the current time. So like, you know, to get views, like supporting Israel or this or that, I'm giving my word. I don't do that. Like if I have an opinion, I'm going to tell you my opinion. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh yeah. And just, you know, give you garbage opinions that no one should believe. So I will point out, that since the very beginning, I said that sending migrants to places like New York was incredibly important. It forced the left to reconsider their position. While their agenda is certainly important to them, once it impacted them, it stopped being worth it, right? Same thing with Martha's Vineyard. New York was forced to raise taxes to divert funding from police, the fire department, sanitation, and others in order to house the migrants. They, by the way, if you haven't heard, even banned Airbnbs from New York City. If you're going to rent out units, it has to be personal, and you have to still be living in the unit. It has to be at least a two unit that you live in, because they need the housing for migrants. This whole thing is hilarious. Not just because Joe Biden did a total 180, which is hilarious in and of itself. Like, come on, let's clap it. Clap it up, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Biden was able to change his mind, or whoever controls Joe Biden changed their mind. But it's also hilarious because the left for years peddled that a wall wouldn't do anything. They sat there for literally, I'm not even exaggerating. They sat there for years and then they went, no, walls won't stop anything. Walls are useless. You shouldn't build a wall. That's a stupid idea. Remember, Donald Trump wanted to build a wall. They were like, we don't need a wall. That's so ridiculous. We hate Trump. Well, now it appears that they're having to change and reconsider their position. Which, by the way, is about the closest thing we'll get to an apology. If you're looking for an apology from them, now that they've had to deal with the repercussions of their own actions, you're not going to get one. The closest you'll get is them changing their mind and admitting that now, they're not even admitting they're wrong. They're just saying that now we need a wall. They're not even saying, you're right, we should have built a wall, that was a good idea, we regret. No. It's just, well, now we're going to build a wall. That is essentially where we're at. Now, I've had plenty of people tell me that it was not a good use of taxpayer money to send buses from Texas to New York. I always said that as a Texan, as a person who lives in Texas, I couldn't think of much better uses for my money. It was removing some of the illegals from my state, and forcing other states to acknowledge the issues they were creating. Now, not only is New York having to see the consequences of their personal policy and their beliefs, but the federal government itself is having to acknowledge that crisis to the point where they're entirely walking back the claim they made for years. This should tell you a few things about the Democrat Party. I'm sorry, but it should. First, that they are incapable of empathy. What do I mean by that? Well, it's simple. These changes didn't come until it had personally affected them. It didn't matter what Texans were going through, people on the border were going through, it didn't matter. Until all of a sudden, oh, this is what's happening? Well, we need to build a wall. Well, why didn't you say that when it wasn't impacting you? Right, because if this was impacting a different state, Texas would have been on the forefront of saying, no, we need this, do it. But instead, they waited until it impacted them. So the first thing to note is that the Democrat Party has absolutely no empathy. Second, it should tell you that they're either incredibly ignorant or straight up liars, and my money, if I was going to wager, would be on the second option, that they're liars. They were either too stupid to realize that a wall would work, or they hated Donald Trump and Republicans so much they were willing to lie for years about what they knew would work because of that hatred. Either they sat back and they were like, we don't think a wall will work, that couldn't possibly, and then years later were like, maybe it could. Or, the more likely scenario, no, Donald Trump's presenting this, Republicans want this? Absolutely not. Oh. Yeah, that's actually a good idea. They lied, which is par and parcel for the Democrat Party, but I just want you guys to know that. Either way, Democrats can't be trusted. While this is a good thing that they're finally seeing the need for a wall, it goes to show the evil that they represent. So anytime you hear good news about what the Democrats did, it should just kind of give you a picture of the Democrat Party. And it's why I will never vote Democrat, not just because I disagree on policy, but I disagree wholeheartedly on the kind of people they are. They are corrupt, power-hungry morons who lie for gain until it affects them. All right, the good news of the day. Moms for Liberty reading time. This is from the Washington Stand. So in 2021, Moms for Liberty was founded to protect parents' rights to raise their own children. Moms for Liberty is comprised of moms, dad, and activists fighting against the LGBTQ plus ideology, infiltrating schools, policies, and more. Last week, the American Library Association, which, by the way, is a taxpayer-funded organization, hosted Banned Books Week for children, which involves reading books like Genderqueer, a title infamously known for its pornographic content and is banned in multiple school districts. So to counter this disgusting, degenerate event, Moms for Liberty launched Teach Kids to Read Week, supported by Oklahoma Superintendent Ryan Walters. This counter event serves to refocus on the well-being of the nation's children. Rather than reading sexual content to kids, which, by the way, is exactly what the American Library Association is doing, Moms for Liberty is seeking to take away the attention from gender ideology to highlight the many children that really don't know how to read. Here's some facts that Moms for Liberty is highlighting. America's children are experiencing a 33 out of 100 reading proficiency rate. Only 19 out of every 100 low-income students are proficient in reading. Only 17 out of 100 fourth-grade black students are proficient in reading. These are dismal numbers. To put it lightly, they're dismal numbers. When you have 100 students and 17 of them can't hardly read in the fourth grade, you've got a very serious problem on your hands. So Tina Deskovich and Tiffany Justice, which are the co-founders of Moms for Liberty, put out this statement. It said, America's kids no longer know how to read, and rather than highlighting that issue, these groups want to allow kids to access pornographic materials and other inappropriate materials. This is unacceptable, and we are proud to continue to fight for America's children and encourage kids to learn how to read. So this is great news. For a long time, the left has been so laser-focused on ideology and agendas that they kind of forgot that the purpose of schools is to educate kids. And I'm not being facetious with that. It's true. The left was so focused on books like Genderqueer, on teaching kids that it's okay to be gay, which, no kids, if you're listening to the show, it's not okay to be gay. Stop it. They spent so much time focused on that that they kind of skipped over the actual education part of the education system. So now you've got kids. And by the way, if you're just going to go, well, they can't read, but you know what? That happens. Some kids just struggle. Maybe they're, you know, built for math or science or music. No. Because these numbers are not just reading. That's what this event specifically is highlighting. But look at any study in the entire country on any proficiency level in any subject in any grade out of the public school system. All of them. Every single study, from science to math to reading to writing to English to any other subject, proficiency rates are very low. You know why that is? Because the Department of Education, the education public school system, is run by Democrats. And Democrats don't care about educating kids. They care about indoctrinating kids so that they vote for them, so that they can ruin the country into degeneracy so they have more power. So it's time, and I've said this time and time again. I've said this because we had videos of, you know, single mothers who are speaking up at boardroom meetings, dads speaking out against evils. And I've said this so many times, and I'll say it again. It is time that groups come out to actually fight this despicable behavior. Our kids deserve a whole lot better than they're getting. And while I may be a staunch advocate for homeschooling, which I am, I also know that the kids who are public schooled deserve better than porn in their books when they can hardly read books. So I guess this is, you know, bad news mixed with good news, right? Because it's, on the one hand, an official taxpayer-funded association is reading porn to your kids. They're like, oh, banned books week. There's a reason the books were banned, you moron. The books were banned because they're evil, because they're sick, because they're perverted books that no one should be reading. No grown adult should be reading it, much less your kids. So it's bad news on that hand. But on the other hand, there are actual movements now, because for a long time there wasn't. These things happened and no one did anything. It was like, we hate this, but it is what it is. But now you've got groups like Moms for Liberty. You've got pastors also, by the way, who are doing things like Pastor Story Hour to combat Drag Queen Story Hour. You've got people, organizations, and groups actively fighting against this despicable ideology. They're not even like fighting against specifically the LGBTQ community. They're not even like, no, we hate the, they're not even doing that. Realistically, this event is literally all they're doing is saying, rather than read our kids porn, we're going to teach our kids how to read. Rather than show them pictures of one boy sucking another boy's penis, we're going to teach them how to actually read a book and comprehend what they've read and actually be a critical thinker. And even if you are in the LGBTQ, which I wholeheartedly doubt because you wouldn't be listening to my show, unless you really want to get angry at me, I suppose. But if you are in the LGBTQ, this shouldn't bother you at all. Like there's no world where what's going on should at all bother you. What should bother you is not the book banning. It's that the money that you're paying into taxes is going specifically to show kids porn. regardless of what you identify as. We could set aside our discussions of, well, transgenderism doesn't exist. Well, you shouldn't be gay. Well, doing that with the dude, blah. We could have those discussions, right? But even setting those aside, I can't imagine, even if I was in the community, which I would never be and would never want to be, but even if I was, I can't imagine sitting back and going, oh man, I can't believe this group of Moms for Liberty. I can't believe these dudes. They're sitting there and they're, you know, teaching kids to read. Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing, Jimbo. They're teaching kids to read. Your side is teaching kids to look at porn. Who's in the right? Well, according to your moral relativism, we don't know. According to my Christianity, my theocratic beliefs, I'd say it's pretty clear who's right, and that would be the people teaching our kids to read and think critically. So yeah, we have to take the good news with the bad, but this is certainly good news. There's no way around it. There's no way to debate it. There's no way to say it's not good news. And I'm saying this, and I'm trying to drive this point home. Regardless of which side you're on, this is good news. This isn't like, you know, I've had episodes where I'm talking about, you know, the Sixth Court of Appeals and the ADL fighting and losing, you know, well, it wasn't the ADL, but the Sixth Court of Appeals where, you know, transgenderism was eradicated from public life in Tennessee and Kansas. It's not even like that. This is something that everyone should agree with. That literally, the mission statement of this specific event is we don't want to read porn to our kids. We just want to make sure that they learn how to read. Like, I've met a lot of staunchly pro-LGBTQ plus weirdos, and I can't even imagine one of them saying, nah, it's a disgusting event. Can't believe you do that. Really? You can't believe that I would try to look at the proficiency rates of reading in the U.S. and try to educate kids, like, the school's supposed to be doing. Can't believe that? Really? So yes, this is incredible news. It is time that more groups like this start popping up, because eventually we will be a majority. Because we, from a technical perspective, we are a majority. Like, how many kids actually are LGBTQ? Like, even if you go on the high end of the polls, it's like 25%. Okay, well, 75% are not. 75% are still based. We're still not gay. So we have the large majority. But now it's time that we have the large, loud majority. That we have our events that put their events to shame. That we bring all the people. That we bring all the funding. That we speak for truth. And that's why I talked about this. And that's why I think that this is such incredible news. Because whenever I see people fighting back and winning, I gotta talk about it. We'll be back with more good news next time. Until then, goodbye.